So you can turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, where we're going to read the passage we started looking at this morning, verses 15 through 17. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. Follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read from the English Standard Version, where Jesus says in verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So tonight I want to look more closely at verse 17, where Jesus speaks of the helper that he was sending to the disciples who would be with them forever. And we know the helper is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was getting his disciples ready for the difficulty that they were going to face. Well, they had seen some difficulty already, but nothing like what they were going to face in the days to come, as Jesus would be arrested, as Jesus would be cruelly tortured and killed and then hung on a cross to die. And the disciples would think all had been lost, and they would scatter. But the encouragement that Jesus was giving, that he would give them another helper. He was going away, but he was going to send another helper. And this encouragement that Jesus was giving them, that he was going to send them another helper, was for more than just the immediate future. Now, they were going to have immediate needs of help and encouragement, and they wouldn't have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit right away. That wouldn't come until the day of Pentecost. So what he's promising them is that going forward into the future, you will have a helper, another helper. And so we need to understand that that helper was for more than just their near future. This helper whom Jesus would give was going to be given to all people who trust in Jesus. And all of God's people now, as I challenged you and encouraged you this morning to do, all of us ought to praise God now for the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. In fact, this helper indwells believers, says Romans 8, 9, and points to this truth there, speaking to those who say they are believers in Jesus. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So we can see that cue there in Romans 8, 9, that there is such a thing as the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 4 and verse 6 also testifies to this truth, saying, "And because you are sons," speaking to believers, "God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." 1 Corinthians 3:16, challenging believers to live holy lives, says, Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? There's that reminder again that the Holy Spirit's presence is a matter of dwelling in believers. That's a wonderful truth. Likewise, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own." That's why I said this morning, and you know this, from the truth of God's Word, that where you go, God goes. God is with you. He's not just with you in space and time. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he's in you. Wherever you go, the Spirit is. And so this is wonderful news for the disciples on that day, to look forward to this gift from God, this helper, the one whom Jesus would send. What an encouragement it had to be for them. What wonderful news it had to be for them that they hadn't realized it yet. They didn't have the ongoing presence of the Holy Spirit in them yet. This is also wonderful news for disciples today, though. So we look at the scriptures and the passages I just read. Ought to be a tremendous encouragement to us to know that as we leave this place, we don't leave a holy place and go out into an unholy world without any help. What makes this place holy is the fact that God's people are here and God's Spirit is in them. And where we go ought to be holy places as we go and serve the Lord wherever we're at and seek to honor the Lord with our attitude, our speech, our conduct. So wonderful news for the disciples that day, even though they hadn't realized it yet, and even though they would lose hope in the immediate future when they saw what happened to Jesus, they would soon experience the filling of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit in them, with them. And we too have this joy of knowing that believers, as believers in Jesus, we have the Spirit who goes with us. It's so important that we understand the helper's work. So important that we understand the work of the Holy Spirit. We need a biblical understanding of how the Holy Spirit works in us. Speaking of the Holy Spirit's work, A.W. Tozer said that religion can reform a person's life, but it can never transform him. Only the Holy Spirit can transform. You may know people who are religious, but don't believe in the truth of the gospel. And having a religious practice may change your life, but it cannot transform you. Only the Holy Spirit, as A.W. Tozer says, only the Holy Spirit can transform. Theologian J.I. Packer notes that the Holy Spirit's main ministry is not to give thrills, but to create in us Christ-like character. And we need to remember that. So how does God intend to create in us Christ-like character? How does God grow us spiritually? Look at verse 17 again, where Jesus, speaking of the helper whom was going to be sent to the disciples and all those who trust in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 17 again, where Jesus, speaking of the helper, the Holy Spirit says, "Even the Spirit of truth." Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Spirit of truth, even the Spirit of truth, will be in you. Last Sunday evening, we considered the fact that Jesus called himself the truth. The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, God in human flesh, with truth. Actually, Jesus, the embodiment of truth. Truth in human form. God in human flesh. Jesus also came and declared truth. He made truth known. He taught truth. And now we see a connection between Jesus as the truth and how the Holy Spirit works in believers as the Spirit of truth. So God the Son and God the Holy Spirit point us to the fact that there is such a thing as truth and show us that the truth can be known and there is only one kind of truth and the truth is not subjective. You cannot choose your truth. And I cannot choose my truth. We need God's truth. And how wonderful this is to have at work in us, if we're believers in Jesus, the Spirit of truth. The one who gives sight spiritually to the blind who are spiritually blind. The Spirit of truth. How wonderful this is to have at work in us if we're believers in Jesus, the Spirit of truth. And this is not some temporary indwelling. It says verse 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." Praise God for that promise. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit wouldn't come until the day of Pentecost, but from then on, all believers in Jesus have been given the Holy Spirit to live with them, to live in them forever. Such wonderful news for believers. But in verse 17, we also hear a serious warning. Look at verse 17 again. "Even the Spirit of truth," and here's really, just a sobering warning, "whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him." Sadly, the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. Jesus only sends the Spirit, the Helper, to those who believe in him. The Holy Spirit indwells only those who trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. And says 1 Corinthians 2:14, "the natural person," that's unbelievers, that's the world Jesus speaks of in John 14:17, which I just read, "the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." There's a cue to the question. There's help in answering the question. How does God grow us spiritually? How does he bring conviction, right? He brings conviction to our hearts with the Word of God by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit bringing to the heart and mind the truth of God's Word. How are we to grow spiritually? We cannot do it without the Spirit's help. You cannot just will yourself to be a better person. You might, in the world's eyes, become a better person by taking a planned path of steps to take to become a better person, to kind of organize your life and to fix up things and simplify and all kinds of, you know, eat healthier and stop swearing. And you can't grow spiritually without the Spirit of God at work in you with the Word of God. Says 1 Corinthians 2:14, "the natural person," unbelievers, "they do not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." The reverse of that, what is that? What's the reverse of that? Believers in Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit can discern spiritual truth because they have the Spirit of God at work in them. That is wonderful news. Praise God for that. We do not live this life without God's help. And people who are still trapped in sin, still held in bondage by their fallen sin nature, they don't have the Spirit of God. They do not have the Helper. It's shocking, I know, when we look at the world around us and see the kinds of things that they do, but it ought not surprise us that people live like they don't have the Spirit. Because they don't. And it ought to break our hearts that they don't have the Spirit. And we ought to want to point them to the truth and lead them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because unbelievers are still living only by the sin nature without the Spirit of God in them, they cannot understand or discern the truth of God's Word. Even if they try to incorporate into their lives some biblical truth. There are a lot of people who know things about the Bible. Unbelievers who know a lot about the Bible. They may even try to incorporate some biblical truth into their lives. But if they haven't trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, it will do them no eternal good. You must have the Holy Spirit, the Helper, for that. And that gift of the Holy Spirit is only given to believers in Jesus. And if you are a believer in Jesus, you know him. You know Christ. Says John 6 and verse 69, "And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." You see, God does a strengthening work in your heart. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He gives you His Spirit, and He testifies to your spirit that Jesus is who He says He is, that Jesus is the Savior. You can also hear Jesus say it in John 10:14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." They recognize who I am, the one who gives forgiveness of sins, the one who went to the cross for sinners. And as John 8, verses 31 and 32 reminds us, the only way to the truth is through faith in Jesus Christ, when it says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" The only way to freedom is through faith in Jesus Christ, and the only way you have that freedom is because you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who helps you understand the truth of God's Word, applying it to your life. But sadly, all people who turn away from Jesus, all people who refuse to believe in Him, they will not see God. They will not recognize who Jesus is. Even as Philip asked Jesus to show them the Father, He reminded them back in verse 8 here in John 14, Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and you still do not know Me, Philip? Whoever has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" So there were a lot of people who saw Jesus in the flesh when He walked here on earth. He came as a baby, lived a sinless life. There were a lot of people who saw Him as He walked this earth and taught the truth. And they were seeing God in human flesh. They were seeing God's representation of Himself to mankind. But even people who saw Jesus, if they did not believe in Him, they would not truly see God. They would not truly recognize Jesus for who He is. They would not have the Holy Spirit testifying to their hearts to the truth of God's Word. They also will not know God, as Jesus says in John 8 and verse 19. They said to Him, "Therefore, where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither Me nor My Father. If you knew Me, you would know My Father also." The world can't know the truth, can't understand the truth, because they don't have the Spirit of God revealing the truth to them, helping them understand the truth. And because the natural person does not believe in Jesus, they are still lost. They are still in their sins. Jesus says in John 8, 24, "I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." You will die still condemned. Before Christ, we're all condemned. Before Christ, we all deserve death for our sins. But Jesus moves in. The Holy Spirit is given, takes up residence. We are given God's Word. The Spirit testifies to our hearts with the truth. We're convicted when we need to be. We're emboldened when we need to be. We're given wisdom of God to live according to God's Word with the Word when we receive the Holy Spirit by faith. How do we receive the Holy Spirit by faith? You believe in Jesus Christ. The natural person, the unbeliever, does not believe in Jesus. They're still lost. But for all who believe in Jesus, this is our joy. This is what we rejoice over tonight. This is what we take into this new week. For all who believe in Jesus, God gives the Holy Spirit, who will be with them for how long, church? Forever. Forever. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And all who believe in Him receive the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Let me quote A.W. Tozer again, who wrote of the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer, saying this: when the Holy Spirit is in full control of our lives. He will expect our obedience to the written word of God. But it is part of our human problem that we would like to be full of the Spirit and yet go on and do as we please. Isn't he right? Many times we don't want to be bothered with the word of God. But church, if you want the filling of the Holy Spirit, the direction of the Spirit of God in your life, you need to submit to God's word. It's what we talked about this morning. God has given us all we need in Christ. Through his finished sacrifice for sinners. And he has given us in his word all the instruction we need, all that we really need to know about him this side of heaven, this side of eternity. And as A.W. Tozer says, when the Holy Spirit is in full control of our lives, he will expect our obedience to the written word of God. The Holy Spirit's there to help us with that. Praise God for all that God has given us in Christ. Praise God for the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. It is now up to us to rest in these truths, to take great comfort and joy in these truths, and not be the kind of people who want to go off and do as we please, but go off and do as God pleases. And take account of the day before us and consider how we can honor God with our time, how we can honor God with what he has entrusted to us, how we can honor God with our speech, with our conduct, with our relationships, with our business practices, with how we do our work. God has given us all we need in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. It is now up to us to trust, to grow in Christ-likeness, to be strengthened in our faith, to rest in these truths, and follow Christ. And that privilege is ours this week.